What's up, guys and ladies? Just so you know, you can find or listen to Hollywood Hype now on iTunes, SoundCloud, all podcast apps, Google Play. If you have Google or Android phone, I don't know where you find it, but the podcast is there because I am team iPhone all the way. Catch us on iTunes and also Stitcher and anywhere else podcasts can be heard.
Yo, do you love us? Yes, you love us. But sometimes we need your guys' suggestions. So if you have any questions for us, be sure to hit us at HollywoodHypePodcast@gmail.com. Thanks.
Hey guys.
That's what you were like last week. It was like, hey guys.
This week.
That's because we didn't have a guest. No, we had a special guest. I'm like, I'm just stuck with these two guys. Hey guys. These a-holes. Hey guys.
What's up?
Welcome to Hollywood Hype, your source for all things entertainment, life, and blackness. It's your boy, Leandre.
It's Ricky Lark.
What up? It's Christopher Allen.
And we have a special guest today.
So special.
A very special
guest.
Just
got back in town.
Ooh.
She couldn't wait. She was like, I knew I had to get back just in time to do this podcast. She came back just for this.
Hawaii.
It's true.
So we're very excited to have Milana Jackson here today.
Yeah. Round of applause.
Thank you.
We're going to go around and say, we always start with what we've been up to. We're going to keep that short so we can dig into her story and everything she's been up to. What have we been up to this week, fellas?
I'll start. This week, I got a chance to go to the WGA, Marb Rockakil speaking engagement, thanks to Leandre, who graciously gave up his ticket to me.
Yeah.
So she talked about her career and about show running, mostly just about Love Is and her relationship with her husband. So I got a lot of tips on how to have a beautiful black relationship.
What was the best tip?
I know. Can you share that with us, please?
She said that she doesn't like to bring work inside their home. So they literally built a kind of like a guest home work studio.
Mm-hmm.
And she will go out there, but sometimes she has to work inside the house. Like sometimes she just needs to. So she says we both actively ask the other person if it's okay. Like, is it okay if I do some work inside the home?
Mm.
And like, she's like, that's a way to like make sure that we're present when we're in our home, which was super interesting. And like, yeah, everybody was like, there was a couple couples there, and I was just sitting in the back.
I don't know
what
you're enough. You're not mature enough for that?
Nah, not yet.
I got to ask permission. I paid a mortgage.
I was like, well, no, I just wanted to know about staffing.
Yeah. Can I just get a job, please?
Yeah. So I did that, and then also got to see Steve McQueen's new movie, Widows.
Ooh.
And he spoke after about, like, they shot 60 days, 60 locations. And I was like, wow, it's crazy. And
that's crazy.
The movie was amazing.
I'm sure.
It was really good. And, you know, him and the producer got on like a house on fire. So,
It was cool.
Nice. That's a week.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. What I've been up to, I went to some WGA events as well. I went to one for content creation, and it had the writers. I'm not going to remember any of their names. Amy Aniobi from Insecure was one of the writers. One of the writers from The Last OG was there. One of the writers from American Crime. They all talked about creating web content and then becoming staff writers. And that was like such a good... and it was for black people only. And I'm surprised the WGA like put that on the site. Like,
really?
Yeah. Because it was ran by the Black Caucus. So it was like Black Caucus.
You know, that would have made me nervous as hell. Because it was like, oh yeah, all the black people come to this one. It's a setup.
But it was fun. It was very fun. It was... And a lot of the things I already knew because I've shot stuff before. So, you know, people are asking, like, how do you come up with your budget and stuff like that? I think one of the things that I learned that I wasn't aware of, they was like, it's important to put yourself in when you do web content, even if you're a writer, put yourself in it. Because a lot of like meetings and stuff they go to, they want to know you already. So if you're in it, your presence, they know your presence already. And yeah, that's very interesting. So, if you're creating some web content and not maybe not the main character, but there was like, you know, a side character or something, and you're because you're building a brand, and Hollywood is all about brands now. So that was good. And then last night I went to a Pose screening, and then Janet Mock was there.
Really?
Our Lady J was there, and the creator of Pose, you know what? I forgot his name.
Ryan Murphy?
Not Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy is the executive producer and also a writer, but it's a young Afro-Latina man that created Pose.
Oh, wow.
And he talked about this has been going on for like 4 years. He tried to get it made and was getting no. And he was like, Stephen Canales. He just kept hearing no. And then he was like, you know, I really believed in this story. And he was like, this is the way God works. He was like, my agent brought me in the office and was like, okay, we're going to push it one more time. And it just so happened Ryan Murphy had bought the rights to another to Paris is Burning and wanted to do something with it, but didn't have a story. Mm-hmm. And just overheard them talking about this guy's script.
Wow.
And was like, oh, well, I want to read it. And the writing room is only 5 writers: Janet Mock, Our Lady J, Stephen Canal, and Ryan Murphy, and Brad Falchuk. And that's all the people in the writing room. Mm-hmm. And Janet Mock had never worked at TV before. And she went from first time writing a script to now directing the episode. So,
nice.
Yeah, that was a really good panel.
It sounds like he's shaking up the industry.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. That show is groundbreaking in itself, but then like the whole model and everything they're pushing for it behind the scenes is groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wish I would have went to somebody's Q&A or something, but I didn't. Let's see. This week, same thing. Worked on Jane 1 or 2 days, you know, auditions for a couple of things, and then that's pretty much it. Just the usual, just the basic, nothing that exciting.
Just the usual, no. Well, next week's a TV show and whatever.
And next week you'll have an amazing week because we're gonna have the Monday Film Festival in Arcadia.
Yeah. So, I mean, this will come out afterwards, so we'll talk about it afterwards. But we are having our first live event this Monday, October 29th.
Cool.
Thank
you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll be special guests of Dave & Buster's, and they will be doing a whole hour segment on us. I don't know what they're going to ask us.
Do they give you free...
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
I got my card.
I might show up. Is that to guests or just to y'all?
Yeah, come on, as our guests.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're very excited about that.
I didn't know this was a thing. Dave & Buster's.
Oh, yeah.
The cards now. Yeah. No more tokens.
Oh, wow. Someone is serious.
I'm serious about my game.
Yeah, okay. I used to be real serious about
game. I'm sensitive about this too. So.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Well, we're getting on because we're from Chicago. I feel like Dave & Buster's, that was like the ultimate. People were like, we're going to Dave & Buster's.
We didn't have a Dave & Buster's in Nashville.
I don't think so. No, we had something else.
Bootleg
version, Jimmy T.
West Side / Pawn Shop.
Yeah, but the last thing I will say, a cool thing on set, I think I told Leandre this, Gina Rodriguez, who's amazing, she loves directing, so sometimes she can't help herself, but it's always great stuff, so I love it. She wasn't directing this episode, but I was saying a couple of lines. It was exposition, right? Writer term. I was like, exposition? I don't even know what that means. But she was like, you know, she's like, it's tough. I know sometimes when actors get exposition because they're just pretty much saying what happened. They're just explaining something. Mm-hmm. There's no juice to it. There's no whatever. Just relaying information. I was like, oh, I'm glad she finished her sentence because I was like,
Siri,
what is exposition? But she's like, yeah. So a lot of times if you just slow down what you're saying, it kind of really helps. And so literally I just slowed down what I was saying as we were rehearsing for the scene and it felt a lot better. It worked. I was kind of able to give it more subtle colors or whatever and just kind of be in that moment more. So shout out to Gina as always for
directing is important. Yeah. Directing and coaching and
all of that. The next episode I'll be in, she's directing. So that'll be pretty fun. Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
Yes,
we're here to talk about a very special lady.
I know y'all are like, would they shut up? Miss Melania Jackson.
Milana.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's okay. You're going to hear more of my name. You'll be able to.
Yeah.
Well, typically, you're in good form here because you can be the A-list, number one on IMDb.
And I'll be honest, I'd be like, I'm horrible.
Melania. No, that's no, the president's wife. My name is
we do
Melania.
Not want to confuse you with her at all.
I've been getting that since that man has been in office. I don't know what to do, but just correct people.
No worries. You're going to outshine her, definitely. Yeah, so we want to get into your story, your journey. Okay. Here at Hollywood High, we're all about the journey and how you got to where you are and where you're going. So just tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, as you stated, my full name is what I usually go by. It's Melana Jemai Jackson, because I was Melana Jemai for a number of years in the beginning of my career. But I'm from Chicago, from the South Side, born and raised.
Park.
91st in Bishop, 126th in Harvard.
Ooh.
You know, it's interesting.
This is official.
Yeah, it's official. I'm an all city girl. But I tend to forget, there was this period of my life, where I was actually supposed to be born in Chicago. In Los Angeles.
Mm.
So my mom met my dad out here. And had to fly home for a family emergency, had me at Jackson Park Hospital, left as soon as she was cleared to take me home. And I spent the first few years in Los Angeles. So we wound up going back to Chicago when I was about 3 or 4. Mm. Yeah, and so I spent all of the development years in Chicago.
You were born into drama, huh?
Yeah, I was. It's, you know, and they say life prepares you for what's forthcoming, and I definitely have been prepared for what's been happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Me coming back to LA and that kind of connection.
Coming home.
Yeah. In a sense, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Because had she not had to fly home for the emergency, I would have been born here.
Yeah.
And that kind of changes some things. But I went to a performing arts high school. I loved acting. I loved the cinematography element of it. Like, I had a real true affinity for TV and film, performing. My mom took me to Broadway shows growing up. So I was exposed to culture and music and art in a way that I think informs and influences the choices that I make in projects, the choices that I make in how I attack characters. And
can you talk about some of your favorites growing up, like some of your favorite, whether it was shows or films or Broadway shows, some things that really inspired you?
Yes, I can. A lot of different things for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to figure that out. But it's very obscure, so I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
So I loved Benny Hill.
Mm.
I loved Mr. Bean. I loved Jack Tripper and Three's Company.
Nice.
Obviously, The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
A Different World, of course.
Yes.
I love horror. That's my favorite genre. Mm-hmm. So there's not few horror films that came out during Blockbuster Hollywood Video during that era that I have not seen. Like, once those video stores closed, then things kind of, like, once 2000s came, it kind of shifted, the genre kind of changed, and I lost the magnetic element of that genre. So you name a horror film, more than likely I've seen it, but my favorite, it's hard to say because there's so many. Off the top of the dome, I'll say Halloween, the original.
Yes. We talked about that last podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, Halloween, the original.
The original.
What else? Animation, obviously, you know, love cartoons and all of the other things that kids love growing up. But I was a latchkey kid. It was just me and my mom. So either we spent time together, I spent time alone, or I spent time with my television.
Yeah.
That was like kind of like my life, or with friends and stuff. But mainly it was just me just studying, man, not even knowing, like immersed in this world. Like, what is that? What's going on? How do I do that? I never knew how to do it. I just knew I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the navigation element was a part of what, I guess, kind of built the foundation.
So how did you end up in the performing arts high school then? Is it like your mom just knew?
No. Okay, so I was raised with my mother and my grandparents. My grandparents lived on 126th and Harvard, which is essentially called like the Wild Hunters in Chicago. It was close to a suburb called Dalton, and I went to a predominantly white grammar school. So, and I mentioned that because it's the formative years from sixth grade to eighth grade. You have junior high, you know, you're coming, it's like you're coming of age. Yeah. Experience. And
you're figuring out your identity. For
absolutely.
The first part,
you know? Absolutely. And so when I graduated from eighth grade, my mother, there was a neighborhood school called Julian.
Yeah.
It was just convenient.
I feel like goosebumps because I'm like, I haven't heard anybody talk about Julian in a long time.
Percy L. Julian. You know, usually when there's a school named after a prolific black man, it's usually, it goes one of two ways. It's like Martin Luther King Drive in any city. It's usually not right. Percy L. Julian was like that. It was a culture shock. I went and it was all black people. And I was very like, you know, I had been around that many black people like the last 3 years. So it was a lot of conflict. I was, you know, my mouth was real slick. I learned a lot from a cohort.
A whole nother training.
Yeah, it was a whole nother training. So, you know, I'm 5'2", 100 pounds, and a lot of talk. And I would follow it up. And I was fighting a lot.
Wow.
A lot. Like, my mother was at the school all the time. And it was just really in defense. You know, I'll never forget, true story, I'll never forget my first maybe week of school. I had two backpacks because my mother was very much not into school. So she was like, so you will be? Because I was naturally bright, I guess.
Two backpacks.
Yeah. I had a backpack on my back and I had a shoulder bag.
Oh, I thought you were doing the like.
I was like, listen, okay, double bump on the bus.
We were like,
I had to draw the line, okay? I was mad when she bought the backpack. It was Eddie Bauer. Everybody was rocking Eddie Bauer. Right. So I was like, okay, good. But I got two. Well, then I can switch off. She was like, no, you're going to carry both to school. This one was because she, you know, my mother gave me binders. Like, it was high school. It was a new day. Yeah, you got how many classes? You need a binder for every class. Mm. You need pencils. You need notepad. So all of that I had. I'm going to school. It was this guy's name. It was Mike. He was a freshman. I get my locker. I'm putting my stuff in my locker. And Mike walks up to me. And he's like, hey, listen, I don't think you should put your backpack in that locker because people steal. And I was like, really? I was like, they gonna steal my stuff? Well, how you know? Because I'm one of them and I'm just trying to get out of here. Because you cute and I like you. Don't put them in your backpack. Don't put your backpacks in your locker. You put the books in the locker. The folders, all of that other stuff. But you might want to, like, just keep your bag on you. And it was real talk. Like, they would break the locks.
Wow.
And they would go in the back, in the lockers, and they would steal stuff. It was a rough school. It was the first time I had ever gone to school and met GD Queens.
Mm. Which is
the female sect of a gang.
Yeah.
Like, it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know.
That room just got real quiet. Like, ooh.
Yeah, like, Chicago. You're from Chicago. You know, like, gang.
You know about gangs.
Yeah, like, you do.
Or, like, oh, what are the five gangs?
Right. And I'm going to, you know, living in an area that is close to a suburb. It was not the suburbs at all, but close to it. You know, I didn't really know that element. And then I went to a city high school, and it changed my life. Mm-hmm. It just opened my eyes up in a way that was real. And that was kind of what my mom had been preparing me for. Mm-hmm. So my mother was very serious about balancing my academic and my street.
And Julian was the performing arts?
No.
Okay.
So the fights was kind of like...
We got to get my back out of
here. Yeah, it was like the catalyst to figure out what can we do differently because you can't stay in this
environment.
And I was excelling academically. Like, I was still doing well. And then there were some other things that were just contributing to the transition. So this girl that I met... I went to a charm school. I needed it. It was my 8th grade graduation gift from my step-grandmother, Charm School.
Right.
I'm very grateful and appreciative of that because that is what introduced me to auditioning. Mm. So there was like this element of Charm where they did modeling, commercials, acting, print work. And so that was kind of like, I guess, the emphasis of that world in a way that I never saw like the business side of it. Yeah. So in that school, there was a student there who went to Curie High School, and she informed my mom that it was a performing arts high school. It was like Fame. That's all she kept saying. It's like Fame. It's going to be like Fame. Which was one of, you know, the show.
Fame. The Fame was
like
show.
Fame. Yeah. Like, exactly. So I'm like, it is? I get to do something I want to do.
Yeah, and she was brand new on them. Hey, man. The time of the show.
Yeah, so that's how I wound up at the Performing Arts High School, Curie, and that's what I wound up graduating from.
Nice. Wow. Nice.
I'm satisfied with that already, but I guess we can keep going. His story right there.
Yeah.
So from the Performing Arts High School, I'm guessing you started doing plays and things there.
Well,
oh, no.
What I didn't realize about the Performing Arts High School is that, can we curse on this?
Yes.
Motherfuckers take that shit seriously.
Yeah, yes,
like, you gotta act, sing, and dance. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just...
Unless you went to the one me and Chris went to, but yeah.
Right. But that's what I had to learn. Yeah. Like, I was like, but no, I'm just an actor. Like, I've never done it before, but I can do it.
Yeah.
And so I was not as assured of myself in a way that I needed to be in high school when it came to singing. All of the plays they were doing when I was there were musicals. And I was like, I can be an ensemble, but I wanted to be I wanted to show my acting ability. And so I don't have any regrets for not being in theater, but that is one of the things I will say. That was the first time my fear kind of got in the way of me attempting to do something that wasn't necessarily at the forefront of my career. Mm-hmm. The dancing part was good because I could dance my ass off. I had great rhythm. And the acting obviously was my favorite, but it was the singing. I would get like the little scary, the little cryy voice when you sing. Like that would be me. Because I would be so nervous. It would be all in my throat.
Yeah.
And I just hadn't developed the technique that it takes to channel all of that energy in other parts of your body yet. Mm. But I think my career would have gone in a different direction. I may not have come to Los Angeles. I may have gone to New York.
Yeah.
You know, like that would have been because I to take classes. I took choral classes and dance classes. And so you take these classes to prepare you for it. And whenever my teacher would say something, I'd be like, I got enough problems in this school. I hit the wrong note. That's it for me. My career in high school is done. They will never forget that. But that's just, you know, that's just the high school mentality that we kind of have sometimes. And I always like to encourage people.
And the grown-up mentality a lot of times.
Yes.
A lot of people, you know.
You don't let it go. Yeah. It fuels every decision you make in your life in ways that you never even realize. And you go back and you reflect and you're like, what the hell was I thinking about?
Why didn't I just try?
Because the worst that could happen is that you learn and then it becomes a blessing. That's the worst that it can happen. But we don't usually see it like that.
Yes. Definitely.
We see this temporary setback that we've created in our minds before it even happened.
Mm.
So now you're setting yourself up for that as opposed to, well, yeah, why not? I've never done it before. Let's go, you know?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. But I'm a lot more advantageous when it comes to conquering fears. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you talk about that transition from leaving high school and deciding this is what I really want to do and pursuing it professionally?
I'm sorry, repeat that one more time. I had a little moment where I was like, did I use that word right? I had a brief moment. Like, so repeat that. I'm back. Go ahead.
Talk about the transition to I can do this professionally and going after acting as a career. Like you're moving to LA.
Yeah, definitely. So So through my high school life, you know, obviously college was very influential. I went to Howard University. Yeah, I loved the experience. I just still didn't connect in a way that I wanted to the industry. So I had to do a bit of exploring. So I went to LA. My dad was in LA at the time. I came back. I went back to Chicago. When I went back to Chicago, I was still trying to grapple with, well, should I be in LA? Or like, am I supposed to be here? I didn't know. And so I started just getting involved in Chicago. This is what I tell every single person I've ever met who's asked me, what should I do if I want to be an actor?
There's enough kids and adults.
You can act anywhere in the world. Just like you can sing, act, dance, build furniture, do a radio station, anywhere in the world, right? You can do it.
Yeah.
Now, the access to the public is where things get, where you have to get savvy, right? How do you get this content out? In Chicago, I was working in Chicago. I knew, I was like, they are filming things here.
Yeah.
All I got to do is figure out how to get to that set. So I would be extremely diligent about telling anybody that I had met that I, what I wanted to do. And it is real. People have a tendency to kind of be attracted to that, including family. So, you know, I was very adamant with my mom. I was like, you know, my grades, I don't want my grades to suffer. I don't want my academic career to be put in a compromised situation for me if I'm not fully committed to it. I want to fully commit to this and I'm serious about it. What can I do? So she was like, you know, was like a part of, I guess, the team of trying to find people. And she happened to find out about a movie that was being filmed in Chicago called Soul Food.
Hey,
and she, classic. Yeah, she met an actor. My mom was doing some background work and talked to someone who had some lines in the film. And he told my mother everything that I needed to do. She was like, my daughter wants to do this. What do you suggest? She needs headshots and she needs an agent. This is the photographer. This is the agent I have. That was literally my start.
Shout out to moms who support and other actors
who support.
Was he black?
He was black. He was a brother.
Other actors, specifically black actors,
who tell you the truth.
Tell you the truth and help you try to lift you up or at least do what they can. Give you something versus the opposite.
It is crazy though how like your parents really do, like from a lot of people that I've just spoken to about their like journeys and shit, they're like, yeah, like my mom asked somebody or like, my mom got me this or this, or, you know, like, and this was the start of this entire career that, like, you know, pay my bills off of or done this off of. And it's like crazy how your parents kind of like, even when they're not in that industry, can sometimes give a nugget to.
Yes. What they say, you know, words have power. So if you want to do something like holding that, harboring that feeling, it does a disservice to you. It really does, because people don't. Closed mouths don't get fed. People don't know what you need as nourishment in, within you. Like that gift, that talent, that concept can be only nourished through another human being. I don't believe we're destined to be islands, you know, functioning by ourselves and figuring out and hoping that somebody gets stranded and lands on your island. I don't believe that. I believe that you have to get out. I believe you have to engage, interact. And the timing will be perfect.
Yeah.
Because I needed to be prepared for this industry in a way mentally that I had no idea. Because I didn't know I was going to California. I didn't know that this was preparing me for an actual career to be in California. That was the start. I was my mother saw how serious I was, but she had already seen me do stuff. I would do plays in Chicago and I, you know, children's theater. I did it all. Children's theater, background, industrial films. I had like 9 agents and I had some in Wisconsin. So I would drive to Wisconsin, you know, independent films was my very first time actually being on camera. I've learned a lot since then. Very grateful for opportunities.
Can you name some of those independent films so we can go?
I can name the ones that made it. And then I can name the ones that didn't. It was some that didn't. It lost the funding, and then, you know, that might be for a good reason. You know,
yeah.
I did. I remember. I loved the film. I met some amazing people on that film, but I don't know what happened to it. It was called Two Brothers in a Dope Car, and that was the title. So you can kind of imagine, like, well, what is the story about? It was about two brothers in a dope car. And I was one of the women to the brothers. Like, I honestly don't remember anything else, but I remember the experience. And I actually, some of the co-stars are still in this industry. One is Morocco. He was on Empire. And, oh God, I hate when I name drop because I'm going to forget some people. But there was another actor, Sharif Atkins. He was on, you talk about exposition, and I'm going to shout out to him. I read this article about him, this director he worked on. What's the name of that show? That's on USA. He was on ER. And then there's on the tip of my tongue. Not Seuss, but it's like that. Yeah.
White Collar.
Yes, White Collar. He's on White Collar. And I read an article about Sharif Atkins being extremely gifted at exposition. And it was the first time that I read publicly about the challenge. Like you said, how Gina educated you. Mm-hmm. You know, it is really it's a gift to be able to handle dialogue that you're not necessarily versed in.
Yeah.
And you got to make it sound like, you know, what the fuck you talking about.
Make it sound like,
yeah. Right. And so, you know, again, that's akin to the start, you know, like beginnings and preparing for what's forthcoming. And so that film kind of reminds me of how it's a marathon.
Yeah.
There's a journey that we're on. It's not just like a sprint, like these small little jobs. And so that kind of gave me a little bit more courage to think where I could go with this. And I met a young lady who is actually on a show right now called American Me. Is that the name of it on CW? All American. It's a brand new show. All American. Her name is Kareema Rustbrook. I met her, and she encouraged me to come to LA because she had come to LA. And the experience was very productive, and we knew each other in Chicago, and I moved out here, and I've been out here ever since.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been over 10 years now for me. It's been a while.
Yeah. And it's been a successful 10 years.
Yes.
There is a lot of shows that Milana, Jemai, Jackson, I said that right?
Yeah.
Hey.
I was hanging on every letter, too.
She has been on Strike Back,
Woo!
How to Get Away with Murder,
yes.
Dexter, y'all jump in anytime.
Aquarius. Lincoln Heights.
Lincoln Heights.
Yeah, that was like, I never like, people don't know. You know, I've met actors, it's funny, because I met actors who are like, man, I've been in this game since 2006. And I'm like, aw.
You know, I did that, like, I would get that too, especially at work. People would be like, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been out here 3 years. And they're like, well, you're a baby. And I'm
you
like,
really are.
Like, man.
Yeah. No.
Tell my fucking landlord I'm a baby, so I gotta pay no more rent. Because I'm a baby.
I will say, some of our first podcasts is us, because Ricky is in a good career trajectory path. And it's just us being like, can't believe you only been here.
No, yeah, it speaks to, though, your point of it being a marathon and not a sprint, where I'm like, when I was like, oh yeah, 2 years, I was like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to go do this. And it would fail miserably. And people would be like, well, you don't have enough tools in your toolbox yet. You know, you don't understand this art form yet. And then I'd ask someone, well, how long had you been? Or someone like Jude Wang, and she's like a director for episodic television. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I worked in unscripted television for 21 years before
Bam.
I ever even
Bam.
Got a chance to be in a fellowship room or anything. She was like, I was a showrunner for 21 years on Unscripted. And she was like, and then people started to read my script.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Wow. That, and that's real talk. And the way that I had to kind of flip things, because you do settle in this place like, well, what the fuck am I doing? Like you
yeah, it's happening.
Yeah. But the reality is, you know, what goals are you setting? Like, I knew I wanted to be a working actor. Well, I was a working actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were booking and...
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but this... I gotta be more specific. Mm. I gotta dream much bigger.
Yeah.
I gotta really be clear as to what my goal is. And is this about me? Am I working for me? Or am I doing this to contribute to an industry that Ray helped to fuel my perspective about life, my perspective about relationships, my perspective about art, my connection to this industry is personal.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave something. What are you leaving other than designer bags?
Yeah.
I want to leave great work. Mm. So that meant that I had to kind of shift in my mindset about the kinds of things, because I was already, I jumped ship. Let me finish that thought. I wanted to stay in alignment with my overall goal. Because what I used to do in the beginning of my career, Isaiah Washington said it and I never forgot, the power of the word no. It's very, very powerful, and actors are afraid to use it in ways that benefit them.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that's got to be on this show. You're the one that's got to be living the life of this character. You're the one that has to be committed every single day to making sure that the people who are paying their money, either in the theaters or in on for you to watch you on stage or even on television, that they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like an album, a CD. Like, you know, if you're not putting your heart and soul into this, then what are you doing it for?
Yes.
Because it looks cute. It feels great. You think that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, or because I really want to do it and this might be the last time.
Yeah. Mm.
And once I started thinking that, then I started, honestly, booking shows like How to Get Away with Murder. Mm. Working opposite Viola Davis was something that wasn't even my trajectory as when it happened. I knew the time was going to come. She a Leo, I'm a Leo, she black, I'm black. You know, like, it's just bound to happen. It's a small industry.
Yeah.
But you add all these other elements about my background and, like, how serious I take this. Why wouldn't a woman who also takes it seriously, why wouldn't we be in the same kind of
atmosphere
at some point? And it happened when I least expected it, actually.
I don't know which one you want to jump into first, if you want to go in a linear fashion or if you want to talk about How to Get Away with Murder first, or Strike Back first, or Aquarius first, or
I can start with Strike Back because it's such there's a fan.
I'll say before you get into it that when my first I came out to Los Angeles, I had an internship and I was working at Cinemax. And they were like, we're working on Banshee and we're working on Strike Back. And they said, go back to your desk, watch Banshee, watch Strike Back. I watched them. And they were like, we're going to need hands on this or that. We're going to Comic-Con that year or whatever to talk about the show.
Was I there that year?
I think you were there that year. And I'll tell you that...
Nobody knew who I was!
Let me tell you this. I had befriended all the assistants mostly by figuring out, like, okay, you don't need my notes on the script, but you need to know what your favorite team is doing on ESPN, or like, you know, like that your meter is about to be up, da 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 da. So I was doing a lot of that, making a bunch of coffee runs. And they said, do you want to come down to Comic-Con with us? And I said, for sure, I'll do whatever. Mm-hmm. And what they asked me to do, I'll never forget, because I was so hung over the day that I showed up. They were like, you're going to stand outside of Comic-Con passing out flyers to get people to come to the panel. And I said, it was this moment of me being like literally like Raging Bull, like smashing myself, like, I'm the man, I can do this, and literally I was just like, I can either pass out flyers like a little bitch and like give them to people, they throw them on the ground, or I can like scream. And I screamed for hours outside of there, like, come to this thing, like, this is the best show ever. Like, do you like guns? Do you like Australian?
It's
like,
real, you know, that's
do
real.
You like this? You know, like, oh, yeah. And like it was like the one of the most enjoyable experiences I had. Oh, like nice. I'm a Strike Back fan. Like
wow.
It was amazing.
Wow.
And it was so I like I'm super excited to have
and
talk about that.
No, I have to say, man, the last podcast I did is because they were Strike Back fans. So I'm like, I gotta go. You know, the experience for Strike Back. It's so telling because prior to booking that show, I had given up.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, it was an interesting, point where there's the fork in the road. And I had thought, I was like, well, you know, I had done some guest stars and I would work periodically from 2003 up until 2012, which is, I think when I auditioned for it was 2012, might have been. Yeah, I think it was 2012. So, you know, when you're working, like, Lincoln Heights came in 08, and Lincoln Heights changed my life because it was the first time I worked on a black drama, and it was the first time I worked on a family drama. Chadwick Boseman was on the show at the time. I learned a lot from Russell, and I felt like I had some great tools, but I was like, so what do I do with these tools, right?
Yeah.
And so I got a really good agent from that job, and then I had a solid management team, and so you get all of the things that you're told you need in order to succeed in this business. And then things weren't really happening, because reality is it's still, that opportunity came because it was on a black show.
Yeah.
It was about a black family on ABC Family. So it wasn't even network, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once that show was canceled, now you're looking for the next opportunity like that, or you create opportunities. That's what it is. Those are the choices that you have to make in this industry. So when nothing really had enough momentum, I took that as a sign that this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. I went back to school. I was taking classes. I was prepared this trajectory to go to UCLA. I was like, I never finished school. I want to finish school. I'm going to become a Bruin. It's going to hurt my heart because I was a Bison. But I'll be a Bruin, okay? African American Studies. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I had an audition. I'm jumping ship. So I'm doing that. And then I lose my entire team. My agency, my manager, for the first time in my career, I didn't have any representation. Now,
wow.
I told you, Chicago, I had 9 agents. That's how diligent I was about this business.
Wow.
To go to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really a sign. I was like, well, I guess this is really what I need. Let me go down this path. And then she said, is there anything I could do for you? And I said, you can give me a referral to an agent. And I just said it just...
It was
my agent at the agency.
Okay.
There was some shakeup at that agency.
Mm-hmm,
it was a lot of different things going on, and they didn't really know. They don't usually know what to do with black women, period, unless you look like Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very interesting that the perspective that is kind of created for beauty is seen through a very narrow lens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just reality.
Yeah.
I would never say that women are unattractive or beautiful. I'm not attracted to women. I think that there's beauty in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this industry ain't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking at it from that perspective, they didn't really know what to do with me. And to be honest, I didn't really know what to do with that.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, then I'll just go to school. But if you want to do something, give me an agent referral. I ain't back. That was it, and I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that was still me holding on to that edge, because I didn't really want to let it go. I thought I did. This was my opportunity. I had a clean break. So it was like a relationship with a person. You got a clean break, and you got a choice. Should I fight for this, or should I let it go? And I kind of fought. She gave me a referral to an agent, small agency. Orientation day at UCLA. That I had an audition, callback, casting director. Kim Coleman, I love her to death for this. Coleman. She said, she was like, listen, I'm going to bring you back. This is Spike Lee pilot. I need you to meet with the producers. I said, what time? Because I got orientation. I'm about to be a Bruin. Like, yeah. I got to get my mind right for school.
Yeah.
I was kind of not in it, but kind of still in it. Clearly, she saw that because I showed up. I was prepared. I booked the pilot. It was in New York. It was for HBO. That pilot never got picked up. But what it did possess was John Boyega was in it. John Boyega, for people who don't know, is he's from Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's doing extremely well. That was the first time that I met him. We worked together. His manager was like, where are you from? What is going on with your career since you booked this pilot? Like, John's about to do this movie. I was like, nothing. I haven't gotten a thing. I haven't auditioned for much. I'm just waiting to see if HBO goes with this Spike Lee pilot. It was about Mike Tyson. It was the producers from Entourage. So it was Doug Ellen. It was all these names. They just knew that this was going to be the next Entourage because that's what it was about. It never got picked up. He said, well, you know what? I want to work with you. I was like, okay, let me just think. I don't know because it's just the signs just look like they're pointing in another direction. But it's because I wasn't looking at the signs the way that I needed to be looking at them. I was looking at them from this place of expectation as opposed to a place of gratitude. Because I was still in the race. The marathon was still, it's still happening.
Right.
I just lost sight of stuff.
Yeah.
And he kind of directed me in a way to see myself globally. And he was he was a British agent. And I'm like, well, if the Brits think I'm dope, then what the hell am I thinking?
Which is like, so many black artists over so many mediums have that moment where they're like, oh, you don't fuck with me?
Yeah.
Cross the pond.
Yeah. Right. And I had to like, look at it like, again, remember when I said, you can act anywhere.
Yeah.
It's all about how to connect to your audience. And so I was like, this is just another extension of that. So I said, well, you know, I was like, well, I'm starting fresh. I'm starting from scratch. Give me some time. I like walked away from my American representation. I needed a clear head because I didn't want any distractions. I wanted to make sure that it wasn't an emotional based response.
Yeah.
Because I had made that before. You know, I was like that I'm a woman, okay? But I'm also an artist. So I'm very emotional. Yes! So I'm like really sensitive. So I said, well, I don't know. Let me see. And I thought about the fear of like what that would mean and what that represented and what are you afraid of when you're scared of this man believes in you and who knows what could happen. And my first audition through him was Strike Back.
Wow.
And I booked it. It took me like, I did like five or six auditions, five self-tapes. Mm. So again, it goes to say like, I didn't need to be in London. I didn't need to be based in South Africa where we shot. I needed to be right where I was in the position that I was. I just needed to be present. Talk about being present, right? I needed to be present. And I just did the self-tape. I didn't think anything about it. I watched the show. I was like, they want me to be on this? Do you see what they... I ain't never shot a woman in my life.
Just fucking blowing everything up and shooting
like
everybody.
We would have a scene like, we would come through here. We're clearing this whole room. Bang. I know how to hold a weapon. I realize that I really am ambidextrous. I used to say it and I didn't really think I was, but I really am because I'm all left when it comes to shooting. I don't really shoot well with my right. So I had to learn everything from this left side and that's what my strength was, which was an asset to the show.
Watch out, fellas. Because listening.
Run
up on her.
You know, I had to learn hand-to-hand combat on film, which is I think what dance. The fighting was
did
that
your,
prepared me for.
Did your high school like
all that
shit?
But also I'm kind of skating. I did a little bit of martial arts, so that kept kind of fed into my ego a little bit. I did. You know, my mother saw something. I was fighting a lot. I was very, unfortunately, you know, you grow up in a city, there is a lot of rage. And unless it's used in a productive way, people don't know how to handle that. And it comes out in activity. Yeah. So I'm mad I lost. I don't like the way I feel. I'm going to take it out on you. I'm mad that, you know, I don't have a relationship that I think I should in my family. And I understand why. So I'm going to take it out on you. Like, this is just what human beings do.
Yeah.
No matter where you live. If you're mad, I can't beat up my mama. She just whooped me. But I can whoop you. Yeah. You know, so that all kind of fueled, I say, prepared me to be on a TV show to realize how to deal with all of these things. And I'm living out of the country for 2 years. I'm living in Africa and Asia and Europe, like for periods of the time where it was another culture shock for me. Yeah.
Did you, this is a kind of a two-part question, but one, how did your mindset change outside when you were outside of the country? And two, I wanted to ask, because like Strikeback is so big overseas, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and like, how was that, like, coming into that, like, you being big overseas,
yeah.
and, like, you're both understanding a new culture and a new environment, but also, like, you're a celebrity in it, and you don't also understand the regular cultural norms of that. How was that? Was it weird at all?
Yeah, it was weird. So let me piggyback. I'm going to go back a little bit, because you mentioned Comic-Con. So I went to Comic-Con, so we filmed the entire first season, my first season, which is season 3. And then after that, I was invited to Comic-Con. There was only 2 Americans on the show. It's myself and Philip Winchester, who plays the Brett,
yeah.
who is the guy that I have this affinity, love interest. You know, it's unrequited love, but it's love nonetheless.
And also what's crazy is it Sullivan?
Sullivan
and his, when I met him and his accent, I was like,
yeah, he's Australian.
And he was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
and I was hungover still too. Yeah, he was like, you seem hungover, mate. And I was like, I am. Well, yeah. Let's get you another.
Yeah, he loves that. Yeah, that's so him. Yeah, that's so yeah. So to answer your question, I'm just beginning with, so when we did the promotions, no one knew that I was, I'm joining because I'm sitting on the panel and that's what you're told, but they don't know me. Mm-hmm. They know all of these other people that came before me. So I didn't experience the kind of adoration you're talking about mm-hmm. until I got back to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I got back to America after I wrapped on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's like this delay that kind of happened. So then that following year of Comic-Con, I didn't go that year. Mm-hmm. So I'm still now getting that understanding of the impact now, and that's through social media, and I'm being completely transparent. I had no idea. All of a sudden I was getting like all these DMs from men from Africa. And they were asking me to send money. It was a few of those, but it was mainly a lot of like, I love you. I love the show. I love Kim Martinez. Uh-huh. Like, I like you know, and I didn't really.
You're like, what the fuck?
Right.
Hello, sister.
Right. Like,
you are a diamond.
But you're right. It is so different. And then it's a certain kind of man I've learned. I'm sorry. There's a certain kind of man I've learned in America to like Strikeback, because his son is just like, yeah, nah, it's on Cinemax. And then they start thinking, I'm like, I'm the only woman that never took her clothes off. So
sorry.
That's what you want to Strikeback.
Wow, yeah. We
you'll
even
see more on Instagram than you'll ever see on Cinemax.
At work, we even call it Skinemax.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're like, you're a Skinemax intern. And I'm like, and they're like, do you watch Cinemax?
Yes, do you watch it?
Have you watched it?
And that's what made the show so unique and to me and special. Even Banshee, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they utilize the liberties.
That you have.
But they amped up all the other shit that made it a great show.
Sophisticated pulp.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sophisticated pulp. That's a great way to say it. That's a great way to say it. That's really what it is. before I watched the show, I felt that way. While I was on the show, I felt that way. And I have to say, I'm very proud of the lessons that became blessings from that show, because I learned so much that I would have never experienced about myself, about this industry, and about my contribution to it. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I'm glad that you're a fan. Yeah. And the only thing, I don't live with regrets, but the only thing I will say is, moving forward, I will keep that in mind. So the next time I do a show like that, mm-hmm. I will give even more. Mm-hmm. I will give even more.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys want to get into other shit, but I wanted to talk about Chicago
PD. We had to talk about Chicago PD. Yes. I don't know how much time we have left.
You got a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, literally.
So, okay.
We can extend.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
Because it's almost like full circle. Like, yes. You're coming back home.
Yes.
And it's a show that's so vested in Chicago.
Yeah.
How was that? Like,
it was amazing. It was like changing. I don't even have the time to articulate how...
You're still going through it.
Part two. A little bit. We'll come back.
Okay. Yeah. So real quick, I have to just start with the date. It's airing. It's November 14th. It's one of the most...
Set your DVRs.
Yes.
NBC. It comes on 9, 10 Central. It is one of the most... I am so proud of this project and the commitment that everybody did, from the director to the... local hires, to me, to the co-star, the leads. Like, everybody wanted us to be great. I've never experienced anything like this before. Wow. And the only thing I can liken it to is because it was about showcasing the series regular, LaRoyce Hawkins, in a way that he needed to be showcased, which is a man who is dealing with some things that real men are dealing with in the police department, mm-hmm. but also being from Chicago, mm-hmm. it resonated with me mm-hmm. in a way I think that he saw, which he even appreciated even more. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't flying in from LA as a girl from Nebraska, playing somebody from the west side of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a humanity that kind of has to come when you're dealing with people who don't know Chicago. Mm-hmm. The only thing you've heard are the things that are negative.
On TV.
And it's perpetuated in a way that is counterproductive to what I would like to see.
The narrative. Have.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm very proud of this for that reason. But also, it's some good shit. Like,
yeah.
I don't really... I'm not just saying that. Mm-hmm. There's a message in this story. And not all stories end with a Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
And sometimes it happens in TV.
Ooh.
Nice.
I'm excited for that.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm about to watch that.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm about to watch that.
No, you're gonna get sucked into the fucking world of like Chicago PD and Fire.
Yeah, I got sucked into Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
For a minute. I gotta get back to it, but yeah, I got sucked.
I can see you on Chicago Fire.
I auditioned for it.
He's there's like, a lane.
I auditioned for it once.
There's a lane right there, for
I feel
real.
Like it's one of my best of self-tape, one of my best tapes too. We got good feedback from the reps as well. Didn't get it, but it felt great.
Yeah. I've auditioned for Chicago PD. I don't know if I've auditioned for Chicago Fire, man, but I've auditioned for the shows before. But this show, I was the first time in my career I can say I was probably born to play this role.
Wow.
I've been looking for moments to say that.
Ooh.
This is the first.
And you got the first one.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I got chills from the journey of like, supposed to be born in LA, born in Chicago, ended up coming back to LA, starting your career, and then having the role that you were born to play back in Chicago.
In Chicago.
That's a beautiful
story. Isn't that beautiful?
Very serendipitous.
Yeah.
Man, that's all I kept saying. It was like an emotional
journey.
Yeah. But you know what was crazy? It was the first time I recognized what tears of joy really means. Mm-hmm. See, usually people experience tears of joy if they get married. They have a baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like something that you expect. This is a happy moment. I'm drawn to the emotion of showcasing it, and it kind of comes out. And this was that. But because it was a rebirthing, there was a marriage that happened. I'm getting deep, y'all. I'm a little deep. I have to just say.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, no, it was like, I'm there, and I had to keep saying, which I learned in Strike Back. I even learned that working with Viola was like, she kept saying, like, do the work. You do the work. None of this shit matters. The Emmys and the award shows and the gifting suites and all of that, that's just like, you know, icing.
Yeah.
But the work is what matters. And every day I would show up on set working with David Duchovny. I would see a man produce and star in his own show, and he was doing the work, working with people who do the work. You realize that at some point you too must do the work, because the responsibility will be riding on your shoulders. So what are you going to do when you, when it's afforded to you? And this was one episode. This wasn't like all of the stuff I had done where I had the liberty to kind of stretch, and you see an arc over a period of time. You see the change of this individual, the impact that this world had on this character in a way where you're like, wow, that's interesting that she ended up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she started. I had to do that in one episode. Mm-hmm. I worked every single day. We rehearsed on the weekends. We were committed and devoted because the director named Christine Swanson believed in me. She believed in us. She believed in the story. And it changed our lives. But even that, there's a story even in that y'all might say for part two.
You're more than welcome to continue to talk as long as you want to. If you want to, we can come back in part two.
Yeah,
I myself will have to escape, but
why don't we do a part two, and we can do a little bit of extended, and we can upload that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you're free next week, we can do a part, because we didn't even get into how to get away to
Mario. No, we didn't get into Aquarius. I'm long-winded.
No, I love it. No, this is love it. This is magic, and there's so much more that I like.
There's so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the beginning.
I wanted to talk about how we met, like how we got invited. Like,
you know David Ashley?
I don't know him well. Know I met him. He's from Chicago. I know he's working on The Chi, and so I just know him through concentric circles.
I know him, and he was here like a week or two ago.
Oh, that's dope.
I just noticed y'all were friends on IG, but
okay. Yeah. Wait, you said David Ashley?
Yeah.
Wait, that guy, David Ashley. Yeah, no, I know. I'm thinking of somebody.
He's from Chicago.
Okay, then that's
it. Yeah, right? Okay. You weren't here that week. Yeah, David's from Chicago.
Ricky was here.
David is from Chicago.
He went to a school in Nashville. I don't think he was on The Chi, so I don't think.
Wait,
he was
I don't think
the same person.
You're talking David Spanks. I'm talking David.
What's he go by? What's his writing name? Because he wrote on Shots Fired.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking about.
David Spence.
He's from Indiana, from Hammond.
That's right.
I'm like, hold on. I know David Ashley, and his house ain't from The Shot.
That's right.
He's from Hammond, and he's very proud.
That's right. He is very
proud. Yeah, that's why I'm like, hold on. Is his name
Jay
David
Spanks?
He is from Chicago.
He writes on The Shy. He writes on The Shy. And he wrote on Shots Fired. He also was an intern at HBO and Cinemax.
Smaller.
It's now
part three. Might as well just be a co-host. Come on, Andy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's do a punch out.
Okay.
And then we'll just do we'll do our punch outs for this one, and then if we want to continue, if you have a little bit more time, we can do like a 10 like a special, and we can upload it specially, because that's what other podcasts do.
Extra 10 minutes.
Some extra tea. So I don't
which punch outs are we gonna do?
We'll just do our wrap up of the episode.
So we got into a lot of stuff, and I feel like we still just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
So we definitely gotta have Milana and Jemai Jackson back.
No more Brownie points, Leandre. Hey,
for saying the name right, I know. But if you know, but we are so happy that you tuned in this week. This is a great episode.
Seriously.
And we will be back next week. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for any of us, our guests.
Any events happening while we go into the holiday, like I know there's always like very, very cool shows being put on, please let us know so we can cover them possibly.
You can email hollywoodhypepodcast@gmail.com. you can follow us on Instagram as Hollywood Hype Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook as Hollywood Hype Podcast. We are now on Spotify. Finally. And SoundCloud and iTunes.
Yes, I have to, you know.
And yes,
you please. Can find me on Instagram at Milana Jame. There's only one Milana. MILAUNA. You just type that in, it'll come up, Milana Jame. And then I'm on Twitter. I have a different handle. I suck at social media. I'm getting better.
Me too.
But I think it's at... Yeah, pull it up. See what it is.
Oh, no, I'm pulling your Instagram up.
Oh, okay.
Say the Instagram name one more time.
Milana. MILAUNA. And it's the only one spelled like that.
Ooh, you got the blue check, girl.
Yeah. NBC got me that.
Strike back. No. Aquarius?
Actually, Aquarius. Oh, I shouldn't do that on the... Aquarius and my publicist. I got a publicist.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming to this one and the next one.
Yeah.
And whenever you want
to
come,
I would love to. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is
pretty
dope.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, let the good times roll.
See you next week.
Yes. Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, it's so consider me a new jack.
Yo, so you're just gonna listen to the whole podcast and not subscribe? Nigga, that's whack. Hit subscribe when you listen to us on Apple, Google Play, SoundCloud, and all podcast apps. Peace.